Hey, it's JP Karliak. I am the voice of Boss Baby on Netflix's The Boss Baby Back in Business and Entropy from Crash Bandicoot 4, and you are listening to The Movie Raid.
It's time for The Movie Raid, and tonight's victim is voice actor, actor JP Karliak, has done various roles such as The Boss Baby Back in Business on Netflix and Batman The Killing Joke. Hello.
How's it going?
Fantastic, man. So what have we been up to lately?
Been good. Dogs in Space is my latest project that's out on Netflix. It's been super cool. Just recording a whole bunch of stuff.
Now, having to be in more of the voice acting realm, does this feel like this is your place more than your acting experience? Does that get more jobs for you in this, especially when it comes to something like Netflix or anything like that, streaming and so forth? Does that help you further your career than your acting, even though, of course, acting is very, very hard to get roles, especially now still?
Yeah, I mean, I did on camera for a while. You know, I got some guest stars on some shows, but voiceover just always felt like my home. And when you're a struggling actor that's like trying to figure out like where to put those extra dollars towards improving your career, I just ended up sinking more cash into voiceover and thinking like, well, this seems to be going well, so I'm just going to keep focusing on this, until eventually my on-camera manager was like, are you still into this or not? And I'm like, you know what, I think I'm not. And yeah, I just do voiceover full-time and I love it. Great.
Do you feel sometimes you have to do acting just so you can get those extra dollars so you can support yourself with the voice acting as well, even though the voice acting is doing well for you?
Yeah, on camera feels like more of a chore than anything else.
To that, do you think being committed in general is more of a chore itself, or do you feel like this is what you feel more, what they say, right to be, especially when it comes to voice acting compared to on camera?
In on camera, I just felt that I was getting typecast very specifically from the moment that I walked into the room, and I feel like there are some boxes that I check as far as my characters with voiceover, but I do have a lot more range. I've been trusted to take on a lot more broader spectrum of characters, and I just find that more fun. I don't like doing the same thing all the time. I think I've gotten a little choosier in what I audition for and what projects go after, but at the same time, like, I'm not rich. Like, I still need to pay the bills. By and large, I think I've been really lucky to work on a lot of really fun projects with a lot of down-to-earth and interesting people. I've had a very lucky career so far.
Performing an existing character or even multiple characters, is it better enhance that character, or, you know, especially on a different kind of level, or is it a fragile formula to build without losing its originality?
When studios are casting for different pre-existing characters, some of them want an exact sound-alike. When I was going in for Boss Baby, they wanted an exact sound-alike to Alec Baldwin, while when I went in for Wile E. Coyote, they wanted it to sound like the previous versions of him, but also understanding that, unlike Bugs Bunny or Yosemite Sam, that have iconic voices that everybody recognizes, not as many people remember what Wile E. Coyote's voice is supposed to sound like, so there was a little more gimme room in terms of being creative and kind of putting your own stamp on it. Especially when you're doing a sound-alike for a series, even if you're brought in to do an exact match, you know, over time, you kind of do make it your own. I think I came into to the Boss Baby experience very much trying to emulate exactly what Alec Baldwin had done in the movie, but after a few episodes, with the writers sort of getting used to what your timing and sense of humor is and writing for that, and then you're sort of spitballing with them, like, you know, it starts to become your own thing, and it feels still of the character and very much the same character, but just different facets of the character than you might see in the movie. You kind of have to give yourself, there's a reason that they've hired you and not the person that was supposed to do it, you know, that originally did it, whether it's money or it's the working relationship, or the actor is too busy, or maybe, you know, or they passed on. Like, there are reasons that you're in the room and the original person isn't. And sometimes it's even like, you know, it's a new version of the show and they would just want to go in a different direction, you know, so you have to allow that you're there for a reason. You're going to put your best stamp on it and try your best to do an homage to the original, but at the same time, you're not that person. I can't hold myself to the same standard of exactly what Alec Baldwin does. I don't think I do a particularly good Alec Baldwin. I think I do a very good Will Arnett doing Alec Baldwin. Well, for instance, a lot of people tell me that their favorite version of Wile E. Coyote is the silent one, and I don't take offense to that because I get it. Like, Wile E. Coyote is a slapstick character, and most of his comedy is based off of physical comedy and, you know, hilarious visual situations that don't necessitate a speaking voice. So I get it. And in some ways, I do agree. I think a lot of the Looney Tunes were verbal, and it, you know, and having Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner being the non-verbal characters that, similar to like Tom and Jerry, are nothing but it's its own thing. And I get that. I personally like what I do with the character in a, as sort of an offshoot or different vein of where you can take the character, but I don't think that in any way diminishes that original intent of that he doesn't talk and he just gets the crap beat out of him.
And now, if a production company, let's say they don't like it, not just specifically from the audience themselves, if a character becomes less liked, do you think contribution to that character becomes almost invaluable sometimes for your future works, or do you think sometimes it could be more of a risk that might actually harm your career to that genre?
I'm sure from some people's perspectives, I've played some stinkers over the years, and you know, I think the one blessing that we have in voiceover is that, unlike on-camera, we're not as intrinsically tied to a particular role. We can go off and do other things. Say an actor playing Spider-Man, like, bombs it, like, royally eats it. Like, yeah, it might be attached to them for years to come of, like, oh my god, that's the actor that bombs Spider-Man. Because you're looking at that person, like, there's much more of a visual attachment of, like, I saw that actor and do that role. With voiceover, there's more of a little more clandestine, I guess, in a way, that, you know, we're behind the curtain, yes. And also, there's no such thing really as a voiceover movie star. Like, the same people that are the leads of shows are also playing the small little bit part in other things. There isn't sort of a working up the ladder paradigm like there is an on-camera. The only way that you can really damage your career as a voice actor is being a jerk, whether it's to the people you work with or to the fans, people on Twitter, like on social media, and getting in trouble for being a jerk to people online. That's how you can do your damage. But as far as like playing roles and doing your best, I mean, as a for instance, there's that new He-Man show that came out, and I know a lot of people had a lot of opinions about it. I wasn't involved with it, though, but I'm a big fan of the property. I happen to like it, but there's some big-name actors that did voices in there, and some people liked them, some people didn't, but they're still going to work. None of them will have a damaged career from being involved in that project in any way.
Now, within this part of the industry, do you think that there's such thing as different kinds of successes or even limited successes between that part of the industry and the artists themselves? Like, they can actually create their own in that genre.
Everybody defines success differently. I certainly have friends that exclusively do voiceover. I also have friends who do voiceover along with on camera and other things. I have friends that do animation and video games and commercials regularly. Some people do one more than the other. Some people do audiobooks as well. Some have families, some don't, and also perhaps other jobs. I just started directing, so that's another facet of the work that I do that I'll probably want to do more of. So I think everybody is finding the balance of what best means to them and how much money they feel they need to make to pay the bills and to have a comfortable lifestyle and, you know, and be able to take care of their families. It varies. I think about voiceover is there isn't that comfortability of, I mean, not that anybody can ever really get comfortable in entertainment, because you could think, like, I just got a lead in a sitcom, we're going to go for 7 years, it's going to be beautiful, but then it gets canceled after the first season. Like, there's that instability everywhere. But with voiceover in particular, like, there is that replaceability. I think we all need to keep hustling. There really is. And you want to take care of yourself. You want to have self-care. But at the same time, like, you know, you can't rest on your laurels for too long.
Now, the longer you keep going within this profession, sustainability is clearly important. But what do you think is really a really good benefactor for yourself, considering how long you've been in this profession as well? And what do you think is not a benefactor, especially that people might actually have mistakenly to be a benefactor?
I think one of the great benefits of VO is being able to inhabit a lot of different roles, being able to play aliens and milk cartons and monkeys and, you know, all sorts of random stuff, to be able to play villains and superheroes that ordinarily physically people look at me as a person they would not cast me in, but vocally I'm very castable in, which is fun. I think the one thing that a lot of people think about voiceover is that it's super easy. Look, I'm not going to be the one to say, like, you know, heart surgery or electrical engineering is more difficult than is less difficult than voiceover. That's not true. I will say, yes, I do think that the work itself, as in the job you get hired to do, like you go to a studio and record a session, that's not exactly hard. It's not, like, super hard. But, like, so much of acting, the work is not, the real work, the real grunt work of it is not what happens somebody might interview for a couple jobs, they'll get hired on one, and they'll spend a few years, if not many years, doing that job. We're the exact opposite. We spend a short amount of time doing the job, and then we spend years upon years trying to get jobs. That's the work, and that can be difficult. You know, I was very fortunate to crack in relatively quickly. It took a few years, but I still was able to, you know, start making a living fairly, well, it was about 10 years, but started training. Within a year, I got an agent. Within a year, I had booked my first gig. And it took about 10 years for me to be able to establish this as a full-time gig and to leave behind day jobs and stuff like that. But, you know, I did start working fairly soon, and that was great. But not everybody finds that fortune. Yeah, I think anybody that thinks, like, oh, you've got it easy, maybe. Easier than some, not as easy as others.
And it's just that level of mindset, because when you are performing, whether it's a cartoon character or if it's something not even a cartoon character, whether it's a puppet character or whether it's a serious character, it's a different level of mindset of the kind of emotions that you're acting and reacting of what the story is, or even if it's an episode or a small segment, you have to put all this effort just to do it. Even if it's a silly couple of lines, you've got to make sure those silly couple of lines is going to land, because this may actually hit in the final product, and you know, cross fingers that your character is going to become lively, and in part your purpose of getting that out there. And sometimes people make mistakes. Sometimes they just treat it as a straightforward job, which is. But at the same time, you have to put that emotion in. You have to make sure that you are that character. People want to recognize you as that character, and you know, get your foot in the door, so to speak. But at the same time, you know, if you venture out, and sometimes you go to some independent company that no one's ever heard of or something like that, and you do get work, but that work goes nowhere. That work is just out in the air. No one's even heard of it. No, it's not going anywhere, and it's not being promoted. It, you know, it's just hit a couple clicks away that no one's ever going to see, and that's another non-benefactor that unfortunately a lot of people just fall prey to.
Yeah, I don't think we have any control over that. You get hired to do the work, you do the best that you can, and anything that happens after that is not my job. You know, it's really not my responsibility. I hope that projects that I work on find a home to live in, and that they resonate with people and they find an audience, and, you know, and that people appreciate the work that I've done specifically on the project. But there have been a bunch of things that I've done some work on, and I was like, wow, this is great. This is going to go really far. And it never gets released, and that stinks, but it has nothing to do with me. My job is already done.
Go ahead and plug in any websites or any projects that we can check out right now.
I'm on the show Trollstopia. That's on Peacock and Hulu. There's a new season coming out next week. There's already been several seasons. It's great. I play Dante Crescendo in that show. As I mentioned before, there's Dogs in Space on Netflix, which is really cute. I just did some anime. I was in this film, Fate Grand Order Camelot, playing the Knight Gawain, which was fun. I'm in the new Halo. Yeah.
And there you have it, everybody. That is JP Karliak.